welcome to episode 26 of the Match of the Week podcast here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network, co-hosted with the Place to Be Nation. My name's Tim, and with me, as always, is Tanner. Tanner, how you doing?
I'm doing well. We've been trying to record these episodes for weeks at this point.
Yeah, it's been tough getting our schedules together. You've been in the throes of midterms, and I'm doing a job. Unfortunately, not in my own behest. I'm switching jobs right now, so getting together to actually try and make something happen lately has been difficult.
Yeah.
But we're here.
We live on opposite sides of the country as well. So
that's true. And we've both had some interesting natural disasters to deal with too. So
yeah.
So we hope that you guys didn't miss us too much. Thanks for going back and watching or listening, I should say, to all 25 of the previous episodes that we've had here on the Place to Be Nation Network. But you know, I think the biggest thing that's happened since our last shows, obviously, has been the sudden and very sad departure of Roman Reigns because of the reemergence of his leukemia. It's just that for both of us, obviously, big Roman Reigns guys, really, really difficult to hear. And I know it's one of those things that, especially for somebody who just seemed to be getting everything going the way that I think a lot of us had been waiting for with him, timing just can be very cruel in this business.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that it was kept secret for so long too is just like definitely positive vibes going out for sure.
Right. But knowing that, we wanted to kind of look back at ascendant Roman Reigns, and we wanted to look at perhaps the two matches for him, one as a member of the Shield and one as a singles competitor, that really I think showed just what type of wrestler he is. And the match we're doing this week is of the singles variety, and it's his first real, I would say, major singles, I would say, test to an extent.
Yeah.
He had been, the Shield had been kind of doing their thing, and this is coming off his epic, in a lot of ways, Royal Rumble win at Pittsburgh the month before. And there was this kind of natural setup to the match because of what happened. That, of course, the Royal Rumble, famous for a couple of things. One, that was, I believe, the last CM Punk Royal Rumble. If I remember right, that was, I think, when it all went down, so to speak. But the other things that came out of it were that Daniel Bryan got eliminated by Bray Wyatt, and Roman Reigns won the whole thing to a huge chorus of boos. And so because of that, capitalizing on that as a way to build it up to Brock Lesnar's defense of the title at WrestleMania, although he just came off a great triple threat match between himself, John Cena, and Seth Rollins.
One of the best triple threat matches of all time.
Just
at that,
phenomenal.
Yeah, we'll probably eventually get to that match on the show as well,
perhaps. But the match we're talking about is Fastlane 2015, and it's Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan for the opportunity to face Lesnar at WrestleMania 31. And this was very heated on the internet. Internet fans got rowdy with this match for good reasons, well, good and bad reasons. But Tanner, the match itself, the lead up to it was something that I think, considering it was really Daniel Bryan's last big singles match for 3 years, essentially, I think it was really well done in a way that, from a natural standpoint, I think Daniel's probably the only guy they got who can kind of put together a storyline like this.
No, for sure. And I just wanted to say the CM Punk Royal Rumble was actually 2014.
Oh, sorry. So this is coming off of the Colt Cabana podcast in 2014.
Yeah, this is coming off of at Christmas time podcast.
No, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving week. Yeah, it's coming off of that. But also, it's funny too, because the 2015 Royal Rumble somehow still ended up being like a bigger dropped ball moment than the CM Punk 2014 Rumble. So I definitely can see where you can get the two confused. But the build up to this for sure was, I don't want to say bizarre because that doesn't sound like the right word, but it was one of those, like, neither of them were heel in this case. They were both pretty, you know, obviously Roman was getting booed because of, you know, the Rumble win, but they had, like, you know, the Brian, I respect you, and Brian respected Roman sort of deal. They teamed. They had an awesome, like, hour-long gauntlet tag match on SmackDown leading up to this.
That
still to this day is probably one of the best hours of WWE television of the decade. So, like, you had all that leading up into the match. So I think just from a WWE standpoint, it has that unique feel of nobody is mad at each other, as weird as it sounds. Like, it's like a mutual respect thing, and, like, obviously this is WWE trying to correct course, not correct course, because obviously Roman goes over, but trying to be like, okay, we'll appease him a little bit and drag him along just a little bit longer, and run the match, because I think even they realized, having Daniel Bryan get eliminated 8 minutes into the Royal Rumble, or 8 minutes, him being in the Royal Rumble for 8 minutes, maybe wasn't a good idea. So they end up running this match, and what we get, I've talked about this match a lot. I've mentioned it several times on this podcast. It's just, it should not have been as good as it was, because like Tim said, this was really, Roman had a singles match against Randy Orton at the SummerSlam from the year before that a lot of people weirdly hold in high regard. It's the Total Roman Show, and it's, you know, typical Randy. But, like, this is, like, the first time Roman, like, obviously Daniel Bryan was phenomenal in this match, but really the first time Roman can show, like, hey, I can also be just as good in a singles match as I was in, you know, the crazy Shield, you know, six-man tags.
Yeah, and I think this is why there was this, this was kind of, I think we've talked about before, inflection points, or, you know, tipping points, however you want to call it. And in the perception of Roman Reigns, this is, I think, for a lot of people, they still saw this as a Daniel Bryan carry job.
But yeah,
now that we have 3 years of perception and literally Roman Reigns putting together a string of matches as a singles competitor that have, in a lot of ways, really not been topped in the WWE. Like, I don't know if there's any, I mean, maybe, I don't know, even AJ Styles really hasn't had a run like that. Daniel Bryan, maybe at the beginning of the decade, I think, kind of had a run. And John Cena, you know, had his run at some point too. But, like, Roman Reigns, beginning with this match, essentially, for the 3+ years past it, you really see what type of resume he puts together from an actual in-ring standpoint.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So this match, it's kind of an odd crowd. It's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's an interesting wrestling town. It was definitely a smarter crowd than I think a lot of people were expecting. And I think this was also a referendum on the Royal Rumble, especially what happened there, because that's a super, super smart crowd in Pittsburgh. And you saw what happened. The reaction to Roman winning it and Daniel getting eliminated by Bray Wyatt, you could just see it there. They lost it. Rey Mysterio, of course, coming out at 30. You know, that type of stuff. So I think one of the big issues there was, I'm getting my Royal Rumbles mixed up. Rey Mysterio was the year before. I'm a little bit, I wouldn't say they didn't have the crowd at the beginning of this match. It took them a little bit to get into it, but I also do kind of feel like there is this kind of, I don't know, like an aura of this kind of like being a foregone conclusion almost. Like, and that's what's kind of weird for this match for me personally, is that I think that thinking that you're not going to have Roman Brock at WrestleMania it was kind of like, eh. But if you think about the year before, there wasn't a thought that Daniel Bryan was going to be part of the WrestleMania main event. And then somehow they worked it in so that he would at least get an opportunity. And that's where the Triple H match came from. And then, you know, that's when he ends up going to WrestleMania. So they play off of that a little bit. But I think the crowd was a little bit smart to the fact that Bryan probably didn't have a great shot here. But give him a couple of minutes, and these two guys, of course, very good professional wrestlers, they're able to get the crowd into it.
Oh, Yeah, and the thing with the Brian, we should also mention that Brian is coming off of being on the shelf for right. 8 months, 9 months after his first right. "I have to hang it up for a while" speech. So like obviously, and like nobody can really blame like Brian, huge babyface, internet favorite going into this match, because this is probably right after the shift in like people looking at Roman being like, oh my god, they're shoving him down our throats, blah blah blah, you know.
Right.
But even though, you know, people complain about not having new stars, but then they, you know, even attempt to make one and they're like, oh wait, not Roman though. But anyways, but this is really the first time we get to see the more, like, obviously we knew like Roman and the Shield could go like balls to the wall action, but this is the first time we can see Roman being like, oh wow, he can like sell like what, like incredibly and like believably, because there's one spot in the match particularly where Brian catches him with a kick and Roman is just sells it in a great way. Like, it's not over the top, it's like right. what you would expect when you get kicked in like the liver.
Yeah,
and Roman just like sells it in a great way where while he was in the Shield, you know, none of those guys really ever had to sell anything because A, they had such a dominant run, and B, there was, you know, three of them, so there was just balls to the wall action all the time. So right. it like we get to see like, oh, so Roman is just more than a guy with a really cool punch and a spear. Like, he can do more than that. So
yeah, and I do like how this match is laid out. You know, if you go back to our episode that we did, episode 10 with Bryan Danielson and Takeshi Morishima, this is a similar match to this in the sense that Bryan really tries to use his technique to wear down Roman in certain ways.
Yep.
And what I do like about it is that and this is what I think really makes Roman Reigns a great great professional wrestler, is his understanding of nuance. He knows like when to make it so that when Brian does something, he knows exactly how and when to sell it. So what I mean by that is there are shots in this match that Brian does where Roman Reigns looks like the strongest dude on earth and he's not going to feel it at all. But then there's other times where Brian, who it was his intent in this match coming in to show that he was not about to back down from a guy like Roman Reigns. He was going to go right after him. He didn't care. This was his opportunity. And so he would do something with a little bit extra behind it. And Roman, like you said, would know how to sell it perfectly. And that liver kick is a great example of that. But there's a couple of instances, especially early on, where, you know, Brian's attacking the knee, trying to get him down for leverage. And you see, instead of like, you know, Roman trying to outmaneuver or get away to the ropes or something like that, that he just uses his power. Like, he just freaking comes back and he is just forearming or just kicking away at Brian as best he can, as opposed to trying to out technique him, which is something that you expect in a match like this. Roman's the guy who's got the overwhelming power. He's just a freight train. He keeps coming at you. And Brian has the determination to do it, but they play their roles perfectly in this match. And that really comes off in some of the little things when you go through it kind of spot by spot, that they really have an understanding of how to make the other guy look good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, Brian, you know, has made a career working guys, you know, much bigger than him. Like, you mentioned Morishima, but I mean, hell, he worked Big Show and Henry at the same time in WWE, and you know, those were you know, really fun programs considering where those two guys were at in their careers. I mean, Brian has made a career working against bigger guys and making them look as good as they possibly can. That's just the kind of wrestler he is. And Roman, even though, you know, not the biggest dude, is still got to reap the benefits of that, because you're like, oh shit, Roman, like, it is like this big guy. Like, sometimes it doesn't translate on TV, but, you know, Roman's, you know, over 6 foot tall, you know, probably 240, 250, 260. Like, and it doesn't come across at all times because you don't really think about this guy, you know, like jumping around, running at full speed for a whole match as like, you know, former college football player. So, and again, and Roman, even working in the Shield, always had really good chemistry with, you know, the smaller guys. Like him and Mysterio had a couple of great interactions and some six-man tags. Him and a multitude of guys, and they really play off of each other in a way. I think everybody was excited for the, at least people in our bubble were excited for this match. Cause like, oh, it's, you know, Daniel Bryan, one of the best wrestlers of all time. And, you know, getting to work with this new, you know, this relatively new singles guy. We were all interested to see how the match would go. And then the match ended up blowing like even our expectations out of the water. Just because we were like, oh, Roman's that good. Because, you know, after the Royal Rumble, it was kind of like, oh, is this Roman thing going to work out? And then we get to, you know, Fastlane and, you know, Roman goes over. You're like, you know what? I think we can make this work. And that was the first time for me being like, okay, I'm 100% on the Roman train. This guy has it. So.
Yeah, I think that. If you really think about, I mean, we're trying to go back to what the mindset was of Twitter at the time, because of course wrestling Twitter was as vitriolic as ever right after the Roman Reigns Royal Rumble win. But I do feel like for the people, I think I wasn't on the fence, but I mean, I was such a huge Daniel Bryan fan that it overshadowed what I thought about Reigns as a wrestler.
Oh, absolutely. You
know, and but given the time to watch this, even live, you know, this was a match for me where I was just like, I can't deny it. Like, this dude is just great. How, like, I don't get how someone could think he's not good at professional wrestling. I think that, you know, if we wanted to kind of point to a couple things in the match, like I said, I think that once it started picking up about the halfway point, that's when the crowd just naturally gets into it. And this phenomenon is really interesting. Like the preconceived notions, you know, this is something that I don't know how much you want to speak on this, but if you think about what leads into a match, very rarely I feel even nowadays when people are quote unquote smart to the business and want to have their own idea of what this match should be like play out as you're watching it. The one thing I always take away from it is that I think the good wrestlers know even 5 minutes into a match, 6, 7, 8, you know, 10 minutes into a match, they know what they can do to get the people reacting to the match as opposed to like chanting through the match or what have you, you know? And I think that this was one of those situations where about 10 minutes in, everybody was like, oh yeah, these two are fighting for a shot at Brock Lesnar. And then all the pretense kind of goes away. And then you really just have both guys going balls to the wall for the stretch run. And this is a great stretch run. Plays off a little things earlier in the match, especially the leg work that Bryan does. It also plays off of the idea that Bryan was not going to be intimidated by whatever Roman did. He was smart to what he wanted to do to Roman to kind of try and get him to overcommit to things. And it paid off in some instances. And then of course it didn't pay off in the finish, which we'll get to in a minute, but I was very interested going back and watching this match. I wasn't really, you know, watching it twice back for this. I couldn't really remember too much about the beginning. I remember the stretch run, definitely the finish. But watching it back twice, you realize that that stretch run, that the last 10 minutes of this match was phenomenal. Like, it was really well laid out, and I think it played off of everything that both guys could do in the ring at the time just beautifully. I really do.
Yeah, that was my thing too. I kind of forgot like what the beginning of the match looked like. This is the first time I've watched this match in probably a year. So like I just forgot like exactly what they were doing, and you know they don't start off going balls to the wall, you know, they kind of take it a little bit slower and they gradually build up to that stretch run. And they do it in a way because Bryan did an excellent job of like letting Roman have some spotlight of, hey, this guy can do other stuff. And I know I keep harping on this, but it's like a masterclass of like Bryan being like, you know what? This match isn't about me. And like, I realize like, I, you know, as much as Brian loves wrestling, you know, he knows he has everyone. Like, Brian, probably one of the most beloved wrestlers of all time on from a Universal standpoint. So, you know, him trying to get this other guy over, and, like, Roman got to have a lot of spotlight. Not to say Brian took a back seat or anything, because, you know, Brian definitely had his highs in this match.
Right.
But Roman definitely got to show out, like, hey, I'm more than just a spot guy. And I think that was really cool. And then, again, leading up to that stretch run, I think they did a great job. And the crowd's actually really good. I had completely forgot what the crowd was even like. But the crowd was, like, a really good crowd. It wasn't, like, a smarky, like, fuck Roman, we want Brian to win, like, sort of deal. Like, it was a really, like, fairly tamed crowd.
Right.
So, I appreciate that in certain contexts, and this was one of those times.
I got this. This is in Memphis, and me saying that this was in Minnesota, this probably gave away what our Shield match is going to be for next week's show. So, I'm sorry. Like, if you guys remember,
There's so many towns that WWE runs in that starts with M. Couldn't remember where this was ran, to be honest. So, off the top of my head.
Let's talk about the finish. So at the time, it was something that I don't think I liked, just because in one way it devalued the move that Brian had used basically to win the title and also to get him the opportunity at WrestleMania, and that was the knee, you know?
Yeah.
In this case, you know, Roman got to kick out of the knee relatively cleanly, and then, you know, they're trading shots after that, and then when Brian is able to hit the roundhouse and goes for it again, Roman just spears him, and that's that.
And yeah,
this was one of the issues, if people were going to look at a criticism of this match, is that for all the things that Reigns did right, and he did, I mean, this was just a great performance. This is like the first, like I said, Brian's first big singles match in almost a year. This is Reigns' first, for sure, like, okay, this guy has something type of singles match in his career. This is a situation where you would have thought that, you know, there was going to be maybe a couple of things here and there that it wasn't going to be difficult for Roman, but that Daniel wasn't just going to be another guy almost, essentially, in this run. And it kind of came off like that a little bit, because – you know, for all the good things that Brian did in this match to show that he was a better quote unquote wrestler than Reigns, it did just kind of seem like for a guy like Brian to take one spear after all the offense he had taken from Reigns in the match already hadn't done anything. It just kind of seems odd that one spear was all it took for him to win.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, the spear was Reigns' move, and it really been built up as the thing that ended matches for him for about a year now. But like I said, doing it against a guy like Brian, who has basically built his entire career about being able to take big shots and almost he has to be wear himself out as opposed to you know, kick out in a lot of ways, it was kind of deflating. But I think that really the perception of us as fans is the only thing that really limits it from what I think people would say was just a great match overall.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I remember watching it live. I was like, I didn't like it, but like, and again, you know, getting to rewatch it and even rewatching it after the fact, like last year, I was like, you know what? Long term, that was probably a good idea. Just so you could have the spear. The spear still is, for the most part, a one shot.
It's pretty protected, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I can't think of many people who have kicked out of. I mean, Braun and Brock are the two. Cena kicked out of one, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that list is a very small list of guys that even get to kick out of the spear. And, like, so, you know, when you're building up a guy to wrestled the most protected guy in the company, it kind of makes sense that you want them to have a believable one shot kill. And then Brock kicks out of a couple of them, I think, at the Mania the next month. But getting to watch it again last week, I really appreciated just. I keep harping on it, but just all the small things in the match, because like watching it at the time, you know, being whatever, I was like, you know, I don't really care who wins this match. Like, I would love if Daniel Bryan won, but, you know, in hindsight, probably wouldn't have been a good idea for, you know, concussion prone Daniel Bryan, who was about to get sidelined again for 3 years to wrestle Brock Lesnar. Hindsight being 2020, right move at right place, right time. But I appreciate that this match still holds up, 3 years later at this point, 3.5 years later at this point, which feels crazy that it's even been this long since that match.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I was thinking about watching this is like, it's only 3 years since his match. Like, Roman has really only been on top for 3 years.
Yeah.
It's strange. Well, almost four. We're almost to the end of the year, but it's like, 3.5 if you want to be.
Yeah. And it's really weird too, because like the Shield was a top act while the Shield was around. But so like, it's really hard to believe that like Roman solo was only like a couple of years, really 3.5 years at this point. And it's just, it's weird because like immediately he gets the, we ain't talking about the misbookings of Roman Reigns all day long, because good God, has a company never dropped the ball so many times on a guy. But like him having the Cena syndrome of getting to kick out of a lot of guys' finishers is one of those things that, maybe could have been done a little bit better. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of things that could have been done better with Roman Reigns, and again, we would have to start a whole other podcast to even begin to crack the surface of it.
Right.
But I like, in a bubble, this match is still really, really good. Probably one of my favorite matches of 2015, actually. And 2015 is a very strong year for wrestling, in my opinion,
especially in the WWE. And
probably WWE's best year of the decade.
Surprise, surprise. Why is that? Because Roman Reigns is on top. Of course, what happened next month. So just insanity, like the next month is Reigns Lesnar 1, which is, for my money, the WWE's best match of the decade.
And the very, very great case for that match. Arguably the best match of WrestleMania history.
Goldberg Brock. We'll talk later. Maybe we'll do that match sometime down the road.
I was there live.
And what's really funny about this is I did not go to WrestleMania 31 because I didn't want to pay $100 for nosebleed seats at the time because I was broke. I instead went to the WWN Super Show and the Evolve Show that weekend. Good choices. Tim Thatcher's the best lad. I will say this about this match is, one of my favorite counters of all time happened in this match, and the one I'm talking about. Finally, somebody stopped the spear with a small package, which is like Brian is known to be the master of the small package. Like, he's even bringing that back in his singles run this past few months. And it's like it was really great seeing that live. I thought, oh, that could have finished. Like, I was actually totally bought into that. But there are some really neat just little things that Brian did just to kind of show you that, even though he hadn't had a quote-unquote big-time singles match in almost a year, he's like, yeah, I'm still the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, it's also impossible for Daniel Bryan to develop ring rust. Surprise, surprise. Correct. The dude just – he's like a wine. He has somehow gotten better.
I don't get it. It's insane.
It makes no sense.
But it is. Like, so this is, of course, available on the award-winning World Wrestling Federation Network. But this is a match that I think, especially now with a few years' hindsight, you can really go back and see, like, I think we've gotten accustomed to the quote-unquote Roman Reigns singles match, the 20-minute match that really he became famous for, I think, in 2016. 2015 was great, but 2016 was, like, a year where you could look at Roman Reigns as, like, the guy because he was doing this, 100 times a year almost. And this was, I think, a great way for somebody like Brian. Like, if you're thinking of this from the back end of this, like, if you're inside baseball thing of this, this is like, okay, Brian knows exactly what a guy like Roman can do. Let's do literally everything that is the best thing he can do in a single match, and let's show it off. And that takes two people to do that. Brian might have, quote-unquote, been the ring general in there, but if you think about the guy who really had to bring it on the other side, this was not a Brian-carried Roman Reigns scenario. This is Lex Luger, Ric Flair, WrestleWar 90. Ric Flair is Ric Flair. Daniel Bryan is Daniel Bryan. But Roman Reigns is a freaking great professional wrestler, just like Lex Luger was a great professional wrestler. And they both held up their own end of the bargain in this match.
No, I couldn't have said it better myself. Absolutely.
So go watch this match for sure. This is the great, beginning of one of the great singles runs of a pro wrestler in quite some time. And you can really point to this match as the beginning of Roman Reigns becoming, quote unquote, that well-regarded pro wrestler, even though, of course, he's still probably the best tag worker of the decade in WWE too. We can throw that argument out there. But go watch this match. Great match to check out. And, another reminder, as always, that, you're listening to this on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Go to ProWrestlingOnly.com. Follow Pro Wrestling Only at Pro Wrest Only on Twitter and Instagram. And get whenever a new show comes up, you will get the notification there. You'll also be able to load in your favorite podcast app of choice, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. And go to the website. Some more regular reviews of matches are starting to go up again. And we're going to try and do some things a little bit differently from a posting standpoint going forward. So go on, check that out. And, of course, check out the forums if you're looking for discussions, deep dives into certain things on the Pro Wrestling Only message board over there at ProWrestlingOnly.com. Tanner, where can folks find you on the internet?
Well, first of all, you can follow me on Twitter at Tanner1495. I actually looked into getting the Twitter handle just at Tanner the other day, and some guy is currently using it, but it's his last name. So I'll be able to score that here soon. Who knows? I'm hoping I can pull off that. But you can also, I do another podcast with my friends. We kind of just banter every week. We have a ton of variety of closing in faster and faster on 100 episodes called the All You Can Hear podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at AYCH podcast. We're available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, everything that holds a podcast pretty much. We're on Instagram, AYCH podcast, and twitch.tv/allyoucanhear. So go follow us over there.
This is a good time to also mention that next week we're going to start becoming an official Detective Pikachu podcast. So stay tuned on that.
Last match review on this podcast.
Correct. Yes. We're going to be going through all the gym battles in Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow beginning next week.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you can follow me at Mr. Tim Livingston on Twitter and on Instagram. Also follow at PPW Petaluma. We have our show coming up at the Phoenix Theater. I think it's good, but by the time this goes up, we'll, I think, just have had it. Our fourth anniversary show in Petaluma. So stay tuned to YouTube. Go to YouTube and just search for PPW Petaluma, PETALUMA. And you can see all our past shows, and you'll be able to see the fourth anniversary show as soon as it becomes available as well. And also, this past week, the free match of the day on Monday was actually from Phoenix Pro Wrestling in March of 2017, Boyce LeGrand versus Jacob Fatu. So check that match out. You can just go to ProWrestlingOnly.com. It'll be that day's match of the week for Monday. That's November the 12th. So, Tanner, good show as always. Glad to get back on the old horse with you. And we'll be back next week with our Shield favorite match of Roman Reigns on the Match of the Week podcast. So until then, take care.
See you then.